So we're from South Tipperary. I'm Anne and this is Peggy, and we're the two nurse specialists working with the project. We were very fortunate to be one of the projects that were chosen for funding from Genio and the HSE. That allowed us freedom to aim high, and we had a very bold vision, a very ambitious vision, and it was to set out to transform the life experience of people with dementia and their families in South Tipperary. So we realised very quickly, you know, that the importance of providing information to people post their diagnosis, the right information at the right time, that they, you know, that they got signposted to the services that they needed to be signposted to, but also that they didn't get information overload either, so that they got the information at the appropriate time. We also set out to address stigma. We realised that there was still quite a lot of stigma around dementia and also a lot of ignorance, if you like, in the community, but also within healthcare professionals as well that wouldn't have had a vast experience of meeting and dealing with people with dementia. So it really was about changing mindsets. And we also realised that we needed to be more flexible in our approach. Not everybody with dementia needs home help. It wasn't the right fit for people at a particular time. If you're just after being diagnosed, you don't need home help, but you may need information, and you may need a little bit of support to get re-involved and re-engaged in activities that you had stopped doing for some reason. So they're the kind of things we wanted to do things differently than the way they'd already been, the way they were currently being done. So how do we go about it? So the process then, the leadership, Mary mentioned Dr. Katrina Crowe. We were really, really lucky to have such a great leader because she had huge experience. She was a very person-centred individual working. She was a consultant in psychiatry of old age, huge experience. And she very well knew and recognised the gaps that were there in the services. We set up a consortium. We got all the local stakeholders together. We were lucky in South Tip because we already had a memory clinic established since 2009. The two geriatricians were very eager to get involved. We got the director of public health nursing, local clinical nurse specialists, public health nurses, the voluntary organisations, Carers Association, Alzheimer's Association, and I suppose most importantly of all, people with dementia and carers of people with dementia. So they all brought a voice to the table. They were people that had huge experience in dementia, and some people on the consortium that had a notion of what dementia was. So by talking together discussing together, you know, it really worked well. The earlier speaker spoke about having a project lead. A lot of the work of the consortium was being done by people that were already in full-time jobs. So we recognised that we also needed somebody supernumerary that would manage the project. So she became also the point of contact because we wanted to create a presence and a focus of that we were doing something differently for people with dementia in South Tipperary. We created awareness. We went out. We love-bombed everybody, if you like, with information around dementia. We went to the schools. We went to the shops. We went to the shopping centres. We went to businesses. We went to the banks. We went to the Gardaí. We went to everybody who'd listen about dementia. Peggy here was the community connector. A lot of her role was involved in going out and speaking to those people and finding out services that were there that people could get involved in, going to the local clubs, the GEA, the Lions Club, any of the clubs that people could get involved in. They didn't need to be dementia-specific clubs. So, and connecting people with those services. We set up a model of care, a dementia support worker service. And I think the reason our dementia support worker service works very well is because these people are employed by us, they're paid, there's a recognition that this work is important, that this social intervention is an important part of care for people with dementia. And we developed a model along the lines of what we wanted it to be. It certainly wasn't ever going to be a sitting service, but there was a goal behind that service. There was a memory technology library, and most of you here would be familiar with the memory technology library that was set up in Clonmel. Simone McGoldrick was the OT that was involved in the initial setup of that, and Emma is here today, our current OT, and that operates, that's there, and Emma works in the memory technology library 3 days a week. And then along the way, we employed a nurse specialist. So originally that would have been myself, and then Peggy moved from the connector role, and now we work together. We're two people in the one post, because we realised that when people were ringing us, that to have, I suppose, specialist information available on the phone and not have to be referring people on or getting back to people, that we were able to provide that, I suppose, specialist knowledge at source, which was very important. So our role then as nurse specialists involves the assessment of people, going out to people's homes. We get referrals from local hospital, most of our referrals come from the local memory clinic, GPs, public health nurses, and self-referrals as well from people and for family members as well. And in the case where there's self-referrals, we'd always get a confirmation from the GP. We'd liaise with the GP to get confirmation, a diagnosis as well. A lot of our role involves giving advice to people by phone. We'd often spend maybe half an hour on the phone. You wonder where the day goes, but actually giving people advice on the phone. We can decide then quickly whether we need to go out to the home, make the home visit. Again, a lot of information sharing at that point. Sometimes it involves just connecting people with the local services, and that's all they need. They need the information and they want to know what's available, and that's all they need at the time. Sometimes it involves the placement of a dementia support worker. We review the service then. We have care plans on all our clients, and we're very, aware that this is a developing service, and we want it to develop as an important service within the South Tipperary area. We're also involved in research and audit and education programmes. We educate the dementia support workers. We have a 2-day programme running 3 to 4 times a year within the Memory Technology Library with different members of the multidisciplinary team involved in that. And we're also involved in a new memory rehab group that's recently been set up. So quite a lot going on there for the nurse. Also for the occupational therapist, Emma is here today, Emma O'Brien. Her role has evolved as the services, as the couple of years have gone on. She now is working 3 days a week, facilitating 1-hour appointments to people who are referred. And she would help with problem solving for the person with dementia and the carer, and practical strategies around living with a memory impairment. There's quite a vast array of assistive technology available, which people can actually take loans of some of it, and Emma will demonstrate to people. She also conducts home assessments, and again around practical advice for the person. She facilitates with us and the social worker from Psychiatry of Old Age, our new memory rehab group. Which we would have seen as a big gap in post-diagnostic services, people who are newly diagnosed, and you know they don't need maybe home help, dementia support worker, but they do need information and practical advice. And she also carries out relevant research and currently is involved in researching the use of GPS for people with dementia. So just explain a little bit about our dementia support workers. They provide one-to-one individualised support. They have VTAC Level 5 training, and they also undertake the 2-day training in the Memory Technology Library. And it's purely psychosocial intervention. So the model I spoke about earlier, it's a five-step model that we have developed. Level 1 is short-term and it's goal-focused, and it might be somebody that's newly diagnosed, that's quite independent, but they've lost their confidence. They've been told they have dementia. It could be somebody in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever age group, but they've lost their confidence, and it's really about trying to get them back up on the horse, getting them back out into the community, getting them back playing their golf, getting them back going to their active retirement group or maybe connecting them with daycare, whatever is suitable for them at that stage. Usually this is just involves 12 weeks. They know from the start that this is a 12-week, intervention. And hopefully then at that stage we're able to stay because we've got them connected with services that are all there in the community. Because we don't want to duplicate a service and we don't want to overlap. We actually want to complement rather than overlapping. Level two then is more for people with complex needs. So sometimes it might be somebody, a young onset dementia, that needs a lot of support early on and we'd stay involved longer than the 12 weeks. Or it may be somebody that originally we had gone in intending to put in 12 weeks, but we realised that we weren't able to get them connected with some of the services there because either they weren't able to engage themselves or because maybe they just didn't have access. South Tipperary, some areas of South Tipperary are very rural. People live in miles outside anywhere and they just hadn't access to places. So at that stage, we knew that we needed to keep involved because people do need social intervention. They may not be able to go into a daycare setting. They may not want to do it or have access to do it, but they do need somebody to come in and to talk to them and interact with them. And I suppose we're lucky insofar as the person is able to, our dementia support workers are insured to take the person out for the drive, get them out of the house and go to the various activities. So it's not all about home-based activities. Again, it's about listening to the people and finding out what they want to do. And that's all part of the nurse's assessment. Level three is continuous support, as I said, where people are unable to engage with existing supports. Crisis intervention involves where, for example, we had a lady who cared for her husband, 86-year-old woman looking after her 85-year-old husband. She was taken unwell. She was taken into hospital. She needed cardiac investigations. She signed herself out because she didn't want her husband going in for respite care while she was in hospital. Very united couple. They had no children, lived out in the middle of the country. And we were able to put in crisis intervention for somebody to go in and stay there for three days, three nights in order to let her to go into hospital to have her investigations. If that didn't happen, she was going to be taken unwell. Her husband was going to be going into long-term care anyway. So it was, a good example of how crisis intervention works. We also have a once-off day off where that we can provide a day for the carer that if they needed to go away for a day, it could be a wedding, it could be a funeral. One example was where a lady who provides 24 hours care to her husband, her sister came home from America after 25 years and they were able to spend the day together. Am I going on time, Peggy? So Peggy is just going to take over from here. And I suppose just to give you a good example of how it works. We can't give you all the examples, but this is a good example of how our dementia support service works.
I suppose this case study is about John. He's an 82-year-old gentleman with advanced dementia. And I suppose he's cared for by his 79-year-old wife, Nora. They live in a very rural part of South Tipperary, and they have no family, and Nora doesn't drive. So that has huge complication for them, as you can imagine. I suppose Nora's older sister is very supportive and very helpful, but she hates, asking her all the time to give her breaks and to get away for a little time for herself. So when we first saw John, he was a very fit and active man and used to walk, actually, the few miles to the local village where there was very little, actually, in the village, but there was a church, I suppose, and a small shop. So he was well able to do that. But as his dementia, advanced, he wasn't as active or as able to do that, and she would go with him. So I suppose neighbours were very good and they were aware of his diagnosis, which was very helpful to Nora because they would keep an eye out sort of or whatever and inform her if they saw him anywhere he shouldn't be or whatever. But I suppose on a few occasions as his illness advanced, he was a bit more disorientated and she had to go looking for him. So that created a great level of anguish and stress for her. We started off with the support worker giving her 2 hours per week. And I suppose they were very well matched, the support worker and John himself, because they were both carpenters and they both had a love of music. So it was a match made in heaven, shall we say. They were, it worked really well. And I suppose it really worked as well when John's dementia progressed, because he was, we were able to increase the support so that Nora could have a rest, even if she was up all night, or that she could go and have her hair done or whatever, you know. So it really was the main thing that she could avail of that really helped her in her caring role. I suppose as Tom's verbal communication has deteriorated, you know, it's very difficult for her in her communication role. And I suppose he loves music, so they have developed a music tape that Tom enjoys, that he that relaxes him, and you know, it's an aid to communication as well in you know, when he's distressed and times like that. John played the accordion himself, so he had an interest in music, so that was a very good communication point for the support worker and himself. Now they are getting 5 hours, which isn't a very major amount of time, but it makes such a difference, I suppose, in this couple's life, that you know, she continues to care because she's able to get the breaks and get a rest, and she is getting what she needs. And I suppose in conversation with the public health nurse recently, you know, she did Nora identified how this means the world to her, that without it, that she couldn't continue in her caring role. So that's just a case study, I suppose, just to demonstrate, you know, what we're doing or whatever. You can move it on if you like. So, right, I suppose it's very important to look at then what worked well, actually, in all of what Anne has suggested and said. And I suppose we have to emphasise again the vision of Dr. Katrina Crowe, who was the lead in this project and had the energy and had the expertise and all of that was needed. And she gave everybody a vision, I suppose, and also, as Anne said, people got together with an interest in dementia. I suppose asking people was hugely important. Someone has already mentioned there this morning that a couple were never asked what did they want or what did they need. So that was hugely important to us, asking everybody, as Anne said, and actually listening and getting some feedback about how we could develop something that would assist and help these people. And I suppose the ability to harness enthusiasm, the goodwill of the people was very evident. You know, carers came in, people with dementia, in fact, came into our get-togethers to participate in the conversation and to advise as well. So that was hugely important, because we needed that to set up something that would be of benefit to everybody that needed it. And as Anne already mentioned, the point of contact was hugely important, because I suppose we all know about ringing a phone and you're diverted to about 10 different places before you get an answer. So for people who are tired and people with dementia, it's hugely important that you get through to one person who can direct you where you need to go. I suppose expert knowledge, nursing assessment, as Anne said, that's now there, so we can do, you know, we can advise people from a nursing perspective and with nursing expertise as well. The memory technology library, I suppose it's huge for people, because they can actually see and trial equipment. You know, it's one thing to look at it on the internet or pictures, but to actually see it, feel it, and maybe trial it for a period, it's very helpful, and saves buying expensive equipment maybe that will never be used. So that's hugely important. The community connector role, I suppose that was part that I did myself. You know, there was very much positives in it, as well as some negatives as well. I suppose it was great to get out and meet people in their own areas in rural Ireland, you know, as well as everywhere else, and just to get some feedback about things. I suppose the negative was in it was that, you know, someone said after one of the talks, oh, how depressing. Such a depressing subject, you know. But I suppose the positive in that actually is that at least they were talking about it. So, you know, even though it was something that might be depressing for people, it was getting people talking, even if it was in a negative way. So that was hugely beneficial. And I suppose from that we've set up a directory of services supports that are available in local areas in our community, which we give to our support workers, because our aim always is to link people in actually with services that are already there, because the 12 weeks runs out quickly and we want to give as much as we can to as many people as we can, so it runs out quickly. I suppose then identifying some gaps in the service, I suppose post-diagnostic supports were an area that we felt there was a huge need. People got the diagnosis, but they wanted, they wanted something maybe a little bit down the road. They wanted to find out where to go from here. Is there somebody to help us, or what's the story? So we did set up the support group, the rehab group actually, which has proved very beneficial. We've ran it on two occasions so far, and it's ongoing. And the feedback is hugely positive, because they come in with their partner or their next carer, whoever, and they divide up and they get information for the different stages of their journey. I suppose the flexibility is hugely important. We have services that, there's a lot of red tape involved, and that's the way it is, So flexibility is hugely important, to be able to respond immediately and quickly and in crisis, as Anne has already said, means a lot to people who are already tired, burdened maybe, and need something now. It's no point in getting it in 2 weeks' time or having several reviews before they actually get it. And I suppose without the funding, we are forever grateful for it, because it allowed us to do this project and to set up some supports for people who need it all of the time. The challenges then, I'm aware I'm running out of time, I suppose keeping, the advertising and the exposure is hugely, it's hard to keep it out there all the time, because people only want information when they want it actually. They don't need it to hear it all the time, but I suppose Understand Together now, the new HSE awareness programme, is proving, it's helpful to keep it out there where it needs to be. I suppose our integration with other services, we didn't want to be, providing a service that was already there. We needed to integrate with services rather than to dovetail or to, provide what was already there. I suppose in rural Ireland where we are, we have some recruitment problems in different black spot areas, trying to get support workers in those areas. So that is a challenge for us, and it's one that we're always looking for more people, recruiting and all of that, but it is a challenge. We don't have any administrative support. We have two people working where we work. We have the occupational therapist 3 days a week, and we have Anne and myself, one post. So we don't have any administrative support, so we have to do letters, we have to do computing work, we have to do reports, we have to do all of that. And I suppose we feel that if we did have that, we'd be able to do what we need to do more, but that's just the way it is. And I suppose capturing the real value, people do say, oh, this meant the world to me, it's great, but it's capturing it, I suppose, in a qualitative and a quantitative way that it will, inform service in the future. I suppose one woman said to me, thank goodness, she said, this is the one thing where somebody actually comes to me, the support worker drives in, comes to my door, I don't have to get into my car to bring my husband to daycare or wherever, that I always have to do. So that's hugely important. I'm out of time, am I? Yeah, okay. I suppose Anne has gone through what we have anyway. It's the therapist and that and all that. I suppose just what we've learned, the point of contact creates reassurance and trust, and I suppose that's hugely important, that when people ring up, they know there's something there, and they know that they can come back if they need to. And I suppose flexibility, and people don't look for a lot. That's hugely important. That family are getting 5 hours a week. It's small, but it's making such a difference to them. So they don't look for a lot, and they like what they get from the Living Well with Dementia project.
I'd just like to mention that at the moment we're providing hours to 70 individuals every week. So we have 18 dementia support workers, and we're giving to 70 different people with dementia. So it's quite a few hours. Okay.